What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and this time to come together as family, and we pray for blessings on it. Lord, in these few moments, we pray our hearts and our minds are open and prepared for what your Holy Spirit wants to do in it. And we pray, Lord, our lives leave here transformed more and more into your image, more and more into becoming like Jesus. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So I am a little tired today because since 2001, I have had this blessing of being able to be together one time a year for a weekend with my college roommates. And so for the last 18 years, me and my college roommates have been able to find one weekend out of this, out of each year to get together, go somewhere for a couple of days and just do guy things, whatever that looks like. But we've been able to just be together, and it's interesting because it's only in the last few years have we realized just what a gift this has been on our life, what a gift it has been for us as we sit with each other and as we talk with each other, as we talk about our year, as we talk about what's coming up, as we talk about family. And then also, as you do, you talk about memories of when you're in college and all the stuff you did, and you're thankful that you're no longer 20 years old, but you're 40 years old. And so I've been thinking about this through this week and with this text, it has dawned on me that the gift of these 18 years has been a couple of things. First, the amount of time that my friends and their wives included, because their wives are also part of our group of friends, how much we have poured into each other's lives, how much we have poured into each other through words of encouragement, through words of advice, and even at times through words of admonishing. But how much we've needed each other in these moments over our 18 years, and how it's been good to always know that I have 8 people in my life who will go nowhere and will always be there for me. And so as I realize this beautiful moment of how much each of these individuals has at one time or another been somebody who has either planted a seed or watered a seed in me, but has always been there for me, pouring themselves out in me. And the second thing that I'm amazed about, as we've talked about this, is over the last 18 years, none of us have gotten so mad at each other that we have decided that we won't do something together. And if you've ever known relationships, you know that can be kind of amazing. The fact that somehow, some way, we have not divided ourselves as such. And as I was thinking about that, it got me also thinking about the last few weeks. And in the last few weeks, we have seen kind of these rivalry games. So we had Texas OU. And if you've ever known a Texas fan and an OU fan, for at least a week, it's like water and oil, right? They just don't mix very well. You've got your sides, and with any rivalries, you know how it goes. For a little while, people are divided. And like the church in Corinth, as one says, I follow Apollos, you have one who says, I will follow the Sooners. And you have the other side who says, I will follow Paul, I will follow UT, right? And there's this house divided. I remember when I was in Birmingham, as a young youth minister in Birmingham, and how many pillows, when I would walk into a member's house, I would see these pillows, and it would be one side would be blue and orange, and it would have Auburn. On the other side, it's crimson and cream, and it says Alabama, and it has house divided. But as I look at my 18 years with these friends, I'm amazed that we have yet to find or have these rivalries that have kind of bubbled to the surface to where we've decided that it's not worth being together. Because what we found is it's more worth it to pour into each other, to be there for each other, and that no rivalry, whatever that looks like, can be greater than the love that we have for each other. Because this weekend, as one of my friends said, he said, this has got to be a God thing that we're still doing this for 18 years. This has got to be something going on that we need each other if we can still do this for 18 years. And as I think about that, and I think about the church, and I think about this text, and we see what Paul is doing here, and Paul is dealing with a group of people who have a rivalry with each other. As we see in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, he starts it with, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. There's an issue going on in the Corinth church, and Paul is beginning to diagnose the issue of what's happening. This group of people who Paul had brought together and Paul had kind of found a way to come together and Christ be the foundation for them, Paul is now noticing that there's these little splits going on. There's these little issues going on. And so in verse 4 of chapter 3, he further diagnoses it, and he says this. He says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? And as Paul is saying this, he goes, you're so interested in dividing yourselves on people and splitting yourselves from one another, and you're doing it with people. You're doing it with me and with Apollos, and you're forgetting what's going on here. Aren't we all just mere... I like how Paul says this. Aren't we all just mere human beings? This idea that can't we all have some humility here to think that maybe one is not better than the other, but we're all on the same platform. And as I sit with my friends, or we sit in here, we realize that, hey, some of us are doctors. As I sit with my friends this weekend, some of us are doctors, some of us are lawyers, some of us are missionaries, a couple of us are ministers, some of us are salespeople. And as we all look at it, it would be easy for us to be like, some are smarter than others, but we get together and it's just us together. It's us together pouring wisdom from each that we have into one another, realizing that there's days in which my buddy Darren will be the one who plants a seed in me, and there will be days in which my buddy Jodan will be the one who waters it when I need help and call him. And Paul says, if you can just get to the point to realize that you are mere human beings, you are not your titles, but you are mere human beings. And then he goes further and says, if you can get to that point, then we can get to the good stuff. Because as he goes on, as we read in 5 through 10, if you realize we're all co-laborers in this together, and it's Christ who is our foundation, we plant and we water, but it's God who causes the growth. It's the Holy Spirit that does what the Holy Spirit does. But the only way the Holy Spirit can kind of really do what it needs to do is if you are not dividing yourself, but you are in it together, planting and watering in each other's lives. And as we look at this idea of Mission Month, and as we looked at all of the things going on, we know that churches can be a place of rivalries. Churches can very easily say, well, I want to do this, or I'm going to withhold my money from that because I don't like it. And we all have our own opinions on things, and it's easy for us to say, well, I'm going to follow this person's idea, and I'm going to follow this person's idea. We see it in the book of Philippians. Euodia and Syntyche. It's easy for us to do that. But here Paul in Corinth says, you are not a house divided. You have never been. In fact, you are mere humans who do the planting and the watering with the belief that God will cause the growth. And so today, even as you go to lunch together, you will have the ability to plant into someone's life something, or you will be the person who will water into someone's life with the belief that God will cause the growth. And so one of the ways that we do this, and one of the ways that we're going to do this, is through this Mission Opportunity Fund. And this Mission Opportunity Fund will allow us in part to believe that God has a reach beyond our reach, that God can actually cause growth. That, and how it will happen is because this is what it'll do. It will, as we give to this Mission Opportunity Fund, as we give and help each other, because really what this opportunity fund will do will help the people sitting next to you and the people who have been sitting on this stage over the last 3 weeks. This Mission Opportunity Fund is in the ability for us to be people who plant and a people who water. And it will do it because of the one big thing I think in our lives that tends to divide us is our pocketbooks. We have a tendency of holding on tight to our pocketbooks until it's something that we want or like, and then we'll let loose of it. Have you ever noticed that? When it's something that we like, we have no problem letting loose. If it's something we're not so sure about, we'll kind of keep it here. Well, this is one of these opportunities that you have the ability to just be loose. Open it up and say, I believe that with whatever I give, that this gift will be either the seed or will be the water. But whatever it will be, I believe God will cause the growth. So instead of saying, well, I don't know if I really like the Mission Opportunity Fund because I don't know what it's going to go to. We're going to tell you here in a minute what it's going to go to. This is not one of those things. As Paul says, don't you realize you are mere human beings? And you're in this together. Many of you have been in this together for 20 and 30 and 40 years. Many of you have been doing life together for this long. And God has continued to cause growth. And this is our moment to begin this belief, to say we don't follow anyone but Jesus Christ, and we know that Jesus Christ will cause the growth if we're willing to give up who we are, our me-centered identities, our rivalries, our issues, and instead be friends. Be co-laborers with God. Be partners with Christ. And that's the beauty of this Mission Opportunity Fund. I'm excited about not only this moment, but also as we continue over the next few years doing it, of what God can do. But we have to get beyond ourselves to realize that we are planters and we are waterers, but we need each other for this to happen. For any of what our mission committee wants to do, they need us. They need us. They need all of us together to do it. It's just not the mission committee. It's all of you sitting in here that believe that you can be a difference in others' lives. And that by giving money, and also by giving your money in this moment, but also by going with Justin to Nicaragua, getting out of your comfort zone and trying it out. Go buy a passport. Mickey did. Look where he's been. But even in that moment, the stories we hear from Mickey is he's been in both Nicaragua and Ukraine. He's not in here, so I can embarrass him. Nicaragua and Ukraine. But Mickey, who has in so many ways planted seeds, but also not realized that many who he has encountered in Nicaragua and Ukraine have also planted seeds in him as well. And by the way, someone who planted a seed in him to get a passport. And from that, people have watered and he has blossomed. This fund is going to allow for that to happen as well. Those who thought they may not have ever done something can do something. Not because we follow Apollos, not because we follow Paul, not because we follow this person or that person, or I like this idea or I like that idea, but we realize we are co-laborers, we realize we are partners, we realize we are mere human beings, and that we are not a house divided, but that we are a house united. And that we will plant and water in each of our lives today, tomorrow, and in the years to come. Because we know the value of planting and watering. And we know that if God is the great gardener, then just a little seed. Jesus says, the faith of what? A mustard seed can move mountains. That's good news. But I want to bring John Howell up. Because as we begin to start doing this, as we think about this, I want to bring John up. John is part of the mission committee, and John's going to kind of have a discussion with me about kind of this whole idea of a mission opportunity fund and where we see this going and growing. And if you know John, John has big ideas, which I love about him. John has big ideas and bold ideas, and the mission committee has big ideas and bold ideas. And so, oh, you can use either one. And so I want him to come up here. And so, John, just for a minute or two, I guess the question I'm looking at is, and I know we talked about this on Monday, but missions. Tell me who's in the mission committee, if you can remember, and then why they're kind of doing it.
Yeah, I always hope I don't forget somebody. But the mission committee is a group of members. There's seven of us in there. And the members here, actually I have them written down so I don't mess it up, if I can find the page. But it's me, it's Ron, it's Mickey, it's Kinnett, it's two Sharons, it's Paige, and you're in there quite a bit. I know Michael Brooks is associated with it, but the missions group meets once a month, usually every month of the year, and sometimes more whenever that need necessitates that, as it has over the past couple of weeks in preparations for mission month. So that group meets and gets updates and reports of the things that are going on and the opportunities and the missions that we already support. And we pray on those and we talk about those. And it's a really interesting behind the scenes look, because I like the verse that you're tying this series to, or this talk to today, because sometimes in those mission fields, we're there to supply money. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in those fields, we're there to supply wisdom. We're there to meet needs. We're there to pray with them. Sometimes we're helping to develop as a business, how do they run? Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's not just we're sending cash overseas or here locally, spending dollars that this congregation has so generously entrusted us with, but we're actually working as a team. And God puts people on this team that have talents that mm-hmm. really meet those needs.
Yep.
You know, Ron's got talents, and Sharon and Paige, and Mickey, and just everybody that sits around that table brings something special that allows us to be a cohesive group. And we're not just, oh, this is one idea, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
It's really by committee, and we talk about it, we pray about it, and we talk, what do our members want to do? And so for us, that's what we want you guys to see as we, what I kind of say, pull back the curtain and let you see what the missions group is about. We really want to be a committee that's there to facilitate the mission fields that you as the body want to be involved in. We've had numerous members come over the last year and present to us some of the mission fields that they're involved in.
Yep.
I have a list of those, and I think we're even going to have a slide of those. But we've had somewhere here. Is it up there?
Yeah.
There it is. Well, this is some of the Mission Opportunity Fund, but we've had things like Eric Cooper's come up and told us about the organization he's with, Casas for Cristo. We've talked with Justin and his friend about Teen Life, Chris Roby. We've talked about Reach Out Honduras, which is an organization that I'm familiar with. We've had those missionaries come, but we've also spent time meeting with Travis and Mindy and hearing what life at Mission Para Cristo is for them. So for us, that's what we really want to be about as a mission committee, is to hear where you want us to go. Where do we need to be going? Where do we need to be looking? Some of those opportunities that are now part of our long-term funding and our long-term mission fields were brought to us from members. Journey to Dream was one of those that was brought to us by a member that said, hey, we need to be thinking about this. And now it's become one of our long-term supporting the mission field that we plan for and budget for in our annual budget. Yep. And so there is, and this church does contribute to a missions budget based off of the general contribution that happens every week. There's a portion of that that is earmarked for budget, I mean, for missions. What I want you to understand is those are monies that we've dedicated and that we know every month that this organization, as long as you continue to give, is going to get X amount of dollars. But we all know, and everybody's been in a situation where you have a flat tire or where your air conditioner stops working or something comes up that is not planned and not expected. And so many times over the past year, we've had to come to the church and say, hey, we need to take up a special collection for VBS in Ukraine. We need to take up a special collection, as you see on this list behind me, for the family needs of our missionaries. We need to get smile boxes sent down there. We've done a good job of putting them together and getting all the goods in them. But we physically need the dollars to send those boxes to Mission Para Cristo. We also have situations that come up where we want you guys to be able to go on mission trips. But you know what? That's costly. Sometimes it's thousands of dollars to go on a mission trip. And we don't want to be the type of church that says, oh, you can't afford to go? Well, then I guess you can't go. You know, we need to be the kind of church that says, you want to go, we're going to find you. We're going to find out how to make that possible. And those are some of the things that we help to do through the Mission Fund. And I know many of you guys have multiple kids. If you have two or three kids in the youth group, sending two or three of them to Nicaragua, that may be cost prohibitive. And so we want to be there to support that and to say, hey, how can we help and walk alongside you? There are a lot of these local missions that have been made known to us that we also want to be able to help. And sometimes we have to realize this may be only for an annual basis. We may be only be able to commit to say, hey, Teen Life, we can only support you for the first year. But if our members continue to give and are blessing us in this Mission Opportunity Fund, then maybe we can make this a relationship that goes further and longer than 1 year. But if it's 1 year, then it's 1 year. We've done good for 1 year. And so there's lots of opportunities that are being brought up and presented to us that we are tired of not being able to help with.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's one of those things. I don't think people realize how much. Well, and also I don't think we realize how many times that we have the opportunity when we see an opportunity to be able to bring it to you guys and talk about it. And I think that's part of the beauty of this Mission Fund as well is, to your point, it lets us kickstart things, even, you know, kind of put it into our consciousness and kind of go from there. But I mean, as you see this moving forward, as you see kind of what we're doing, and I know the Mission Committee, you're always kind of thinking forward. What do you see going forward?
Yeah, so we really have a heart for member-driven missions. We also have a big heart for our community. I think it's been a great thing that this church has done, being financially responsible, putting us in a great place to be looking towards the future and what opportunities that presents. But I look around here, I'm looking out these windows, and I see neighbors, I see apartments, I see homes, and I drive by these homes, and it makes me wonder how many of those people are we mission, are those our mission field? And so there's opportunities that we're looking at that really starts to reach out into our community here. You know, I think it's easy to think of missions as an international group. We're sending money to Nicaragua. We're working on the front lines and the battle lines of Ukraine. But to me, I look at this and say, hey, we need to also be turning our eyes and our focus to the people that we live with, the people that we're around, and the people that are within 100 yards of this building. How do we reach them? Pack Shack is one of the ways that we do that. You know, we've done that through Pack Shack, and that's providing food. That's people coming together to do that. That's the coat drive, figuring out how we can help support that mission. That's some opportunities that may be coming on with our building and our grounds. We're looking at how do we use that for God's glory in our community. And there's so many great things that are working here that we look forward to partnering from a mission side. Because I'll be honest, and I tell people this, I say, what this church should be doing should be 95% missions related. We should be a missional church because that is the true purpose of that. Whether or not that's in our own lives, whether or not that's in our community, we are to be a sent people. And so we need to be a church that is mission oriented. And I'll tell you this, church, for the short amount of time I've been here, I've seen that. It is impressed on me the work that you guys have done prior to me coming to be part of your congregation and the work that we're continuing to do. We are a mission-minded church, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we're excited about it. I mean, we were sitting up there Monday just talking about it. People are going through right and left. And also just saying why they love missions, why they got involved. And as we bring up the coat drive, and as we talk about this idea of planting seeds and watering, there's another way you can do it, and because Myra reminded me. They're about 300 coats short for the coat drive coming up November 9th. And so that's a way that you can get involved. If you, at your work, can say, hey, guys, anybody have spare coats? Because we can use a spare coat. But any way that you can do that, maybe you have them at your house, you just haven't brought them. Bring them and we'll take care of them. But that's one of those ways that I know it's not monetary, but it's another way in which even a coat can be a seed into someone's life. And I don't know how much you think about that. Even a coat can be the beginning point, the beginning touch point into someone's life. And I think that's kind of what we have to begin to think, as Paul says. Remember, we are planters and we are waterers, but that is, to your point, what we should be in this life, is continually talking to people this week and being reminded of kind of getting into rhythms where places we go eat, we get to know people. We get to know their names. And we begin to, by the way, restaurants, you get to know your waitress's name or your waiter's name, and you call them by name, and you ask them how they're doing. And in those ways, you begin to plant seeds that God begins to open the door so that you can maybe even be watering as well. But I think these are important things that we haven't thought about that I love this month for, because it lets us do that.
Yeah, I want to be real clear. We're not just sitting here asking for money. Money's a part of this, but you're absolutely right. It's the hands and the feet. Without that, you could have all the money in the world, but without an avenue, without a bridge, like George talked about, to actually go and to do, it doesn't work. And we do have a group of people here that go and do. And that can be international, and that can be locally. And that's what we also want to support, is just the opportunities that we as a church can ourselves take what we honestly value a lot of times more than money, which is our time, and go give that and spend that towards some of these opportunities that we have. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So here's what we want to do. I want to get, if I could get some of the guys again to go back there and grab a plate for us. We want to give you this opportunity to begin to start giving to this fund, and what we can do. And I'm going to ask John here in a minute to bless this offering. And I know some of you may have, as Justin said, forgotten or just walked out without it. But if you still want to give to it, you can. It's not like this fund closes after today. But if you want to give to it, you can come by the church and bring a check. You can get online through the giving online and go to that earmark of Mission Opportunity Fund and put some money in it that way. But as you do this, realize that what you're doing is a spiritual practice as well, as we give up those things that we hold tightly to, knowing that God as the foundation will do something with what we're giving. And we're not just giving to give, but we're giving to plant a seed. We're giving to plant a seed into someone else's life. We're giving to be people who water that seed in someone's life. Because someone right now is planting a seed, and we have the ability to be the water to that seed. But why? Because we have each other. We're in this together. We are in this together. As you look at the people next to you, you are in this with them. God has put us here for a reason, not to be divided, but to be united.
Yeah, I also want to encourage you that if you feel a calling to be part of the missions group or part of the missions process, we would love to have that conversation with you. If you've got talents in digital marketing or in anything that applies to the process of what we do as a missions group. I mean, there's so many things that you guys have talents in. We would love to partner with you and for you to become a part of the missions committee as well. So, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for the missions month. I hope you enjoyed it. I just also want to say thank you for all those that came. We brought people from all over the world to be a part of this and that prepared time and videos and everything. So we'll remember those groups as we pray over this fund. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the goal that is set forth for us, Lord, to go out into the world, to reach those, to let them know your name, Lord. And that's what this is really about. It's just being your hands and your feet. And sometimes sometimes those require funds to do, Lord. And we just pray that we're a church that does not forget that we are a sent people, that we are sometimes watering, Lord, and sometimes planting, and that through these funds we will do your good work, Lord. We pray that your blessings will be used in a manner that you're happy with, that reaches the people that are in need, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.